both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Mike, Pete across the way. Andrew, your updates. We take you right up until 9, coming your way in the third and final hour. Taz and I will be joined by Jack Del Rio, former head coach with the Raiders and the Jaguars and in the National Football League, defensive coordinator with the Denver Broncos, former linebacker as well. He's a good linebacker in his day, too.
USC, right?
Yeah. USC guy, too. He'll join us in your third and final hour. Mention the toll-free line, of course, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Taz, here's Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, talking about the future of Jameis Winston down in Tampa.
I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to wait till the end of December. And there's been really, really, really good, and there's been really, really bad. And, you know, I'm just going to pass until it's over. And then we'll make a decision.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement right there.
So I was asked about the future. Now, Winston this year, you're right. I mean, there's been some good. I mean, he's thrown for nearly 3,700 yards. We got four games to go. So you'd imagine Jameis Winston is probably going to be close to 5,000 yards when this season does come to an end. He's got 22 touchdowns, 20 interceptions on the year. His completion percentage for the season is right around 60% of the year. Taz, we've discussed Winston a lot about his future down there in Tampa. Bruce Arians, his relationship with Winston was one of the reasons why he came out of retirement. We know how good Winston was at Florida State. He's been more of a disappointment for a number of different reasons here in the National Football League. He's been turnover prone. I mean, the turnover numbers for him in his short NFL career are kind of astounding when you look at it.
He's not very good.
No, he's not been able to take care of the football. And then Arians, who was his ultimate supporter when he took the job, was asked about it yesterday and gave you that response.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. It's like, I wonder if maybe, who knows, maybe Arians didn't really mean what he said or how he felt when he came out of retirement, came out of the announce booth, which is a good thing for all of our ears, but maybe he wasn't being sincere. Maybe he just wanted to get the gig and he wanted ownership with the Bucs to feel like, wow, this guy Arians, he's locked into our quarterback. He wants to coach up our quarterback. This is great. He supports who we have. He supports who he's going to inherit as a head coach. So maybe that was a little bit of BS. Or maybe it's just the fact that he's being honest and the guy's not playing good, Winston. And it's just, you know, now he realizes, wow, well, let's just wait and see what happens. You know, he's been really good, been really bad.
I think he was being sincere, Taz. If I had to read it, I think he kind of hit him over the head that Winston's not very good.
Yeah. And what his comments basically mean is Winston lacks consistency in Winston's opinion. And he's not wrong about Arians' opinion. He's not wrong. He does lack consistency. And the guys that are not the great QBs, as we all know, those are the ones that do lack consistency, you know, and that's Winston. So,
do you think Winston's days, if we had a month from now, well, after this season comes to an end, do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers move on from Jameis Winston?
I do. I mean, there's like no... The Bucs in general, there's just no, and it starts with the quarterback usually as far as the players go, there's no positive vibe, there's no energy, like no real good energy about him. And his performance is like, just like we said, inconsistent. I don't think they're going to sit there they got Ryan Griffin as his backup. I don't think that Griff is going to be the main guy next year. I'm sure they'll, in the draft, free agency, whatever, they'll get their guy. I don't think it's going to be Winston. Do you?
I don't. No. Yeah. And I don't think Winston's all of a sudden going to figure it out.
No, I'm with you on that.
I think Jameis Winston is what he is. I think there's going to be games where he throws five touchdowns, Taz, and throws for 370 yards, and he looks great. And I think there's going to be other games where he throws five interceptions and throws for 240 yards with one touchdown. And you're going to say, well, I don't understand why. Or he fumbles the ball two or three times in a game and you know, has four turnovers in a game. I think that's who Winston is as an NFL player. I think we've seen that too much to believe that now all of a sudden it's going to change. Because if it's not going to change under Bruce Arians, you know, and you look at the, I mean, just look at the history of Bruce Arians. I mean, Bruce Arians in Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger, in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, out in Arizona, he revitalized the career of Carson Palmer. Right? Retired because, you know, that Arizona window closed and he had some health concerns. You mentioned going to the broadcast booth, wasn't a good broadcaster, comes out of retirement, you know, looks at a kind of maybe untapped potential in Jameis Winston and has not been able to find him to be consistent, especially in taking care of the football this year. It's one thing to have bad days throwing it, but to, in terms of throwing it to the opponent and being so bad in certain spots, I think he's looking at it and saying, you know, he's had a history of doing this and being successful with really, you know, good quarterbacks. I think he's learned a lot about Winston this year, and maybe it's not going to work because it wasn't that long ago. Remember, there was the report out of Tampa that Jameis Winston was going to be signed to a two-year contract extension or that he was going to be back in 2020. And then you get the comments yesterday from Bruce Arians. Could something change over the next month? Do you think it's open to interpretation, Taz, to where if Winston plays well over the next four games, the Buccaneers then change their perception of him and say, no, now he's the answer?
No.
Say it's a month in which he throws 10 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 1,000 yards. Do you think they say, okay, well, he's now our guy?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
I don't think that's going to happen. B, no, I don't. I mean, maybe it's a possibility, but I don't think it is. I think Arians is more or less in that audio we played. Seems like he's leaving it open for that. He's saying, I don't want to comment yet. Let's just wait. He wants to see how he plays against the Colts and then the Lions and the Texans and the Falcons. And some might be, you know, hearing us talk about the Buccaneers and hearing us talk about, you know, about Jameis Winston and saying, hey, if you're a Buccaneer fan, you're probably saying, hey, what the heck, man? What are you guys, you know, saying this about my quarterback for? You know, we're second in the NFC South right now behind the Saints. You're second. You're tied for second with the Panthers, and it's a big gap between you and the Saints. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're tied for second.
And the Panthers just fired their head coach.
Right, right. And the Falcons stink at 3-9. So, please, you know, this is like the AFC East used to be, where it was the Patriots and everybody else. It's the Saints and everybody else.
And
now in the AFC East, it's the Pats and the Bills.
It is the Pats. Right. You're right about that with the Bills. Taking a step forward. And the Buccaneers this year have been bad at home and have been decent on the road at a 4-3 record. Speaking of quarterbacks, Taz, in New York with the Giants, news comes out yesterday that Daniel Jones has got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And he's in a walking boot right now, you know, and taking it day to day, week to week here. You know, for all intents and purposes, the belief is that Eli Manning will come off the bench and will at the very least start Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles.
How about that, huh? Isn't that something? Good for Eli. You know, good for Eli, you know, because this might be literally his swan song here from the Giants or whatever. I mean, so he's getting one more chance to. You know, he's been riding pine for weeks and weeks and helping a young kid from afar. And I think he's, from what we understand, he's been a good teammate towards the kid. So, you know, imagine they went past Manning and said, you know what, we're going to start Alex Tanny.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine that. That'd be horrible. No, they're not doing that. But anyway, yeah, no, I think it's going to do good, man. I tell you what, don't be shocked if Eli don't spark it up, man, and they get their third win. Don't be shocked. It's going to be tough against the Eagles.
I know. And Philadelphia against the Eagles is going to be difficult to do, but, I mean, they've been inconsistent as well. So, they just lose to the Miami Dolphins. I wouldn't be surprised if Manning plays well. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Here's Eli talking about the fact of that he'll be ready to go if called upon.
Business as usual, in the sense of, you know, get the game plan, you know, start prepping from Philly, you know, going against a good defense, but also a defense we've, you know, faced a number of years and know them well.
Mm-mm. How about Daniel Jones on the injury?
Pretty disappointing, especially after thinking I was going to be able to play, and, you know, I understand it, I guess, and you know, hopefully it'll heal up pretty quick.
Well, so here's a couple things I thought about when I, number one, Taz, and, you know, you could, you know, you have an appreciation. You played Division II football and certainly wrestled, you know, for 30 years. I mean, you were in the ring and putting your body on the line. You have to have an appreciation for Eli and being able to, A, overcome injuries, not suffer a serious injury, had that consecutive start streak. Think about this. Daniel Jones, year one, is going to miss a start with a high ankle sprain. You know, Eli Manning, the only time he missed a start was when he was taken out of the lineup, whether it be for Geno Smith or whether it be for Daniel Jones. Never missed a start due to injury.
Right. And
when you think about that, it's amazing.
That's impressive.
It's impressive when you look at
it. The durability.
Yeah, the durability and his ability to go out there and continue to play even when he was a little banged up because he did play hurt.
Yeah, I tell you what, I believe in that. I believe in some guys just have that durability genetic or gene, you know, because you just imagine the amount of shots and twists and turns this guy's body's taken over all those years practicing with the Giants and, of course, playing in games. And Eli was never known as a fleet-of-foot type of athlete out of the pocket. So he's been nailed several times hard, you know, from all different directions. And for him to, you know, have that kind of durability is extremely impressive. And where this kid's in his rookie year and he's already out with a high ankle sprain, I mean, everybody's body's built different. You could have guys that you could look like you're cut from stone. You could have a body like you're cut out of marble or granite and still get hurt all the time. It happens all the time. It's just it has nothing to do with the muscularity. So
it's crazy. It's genetics, right?
From what I understand and believe, I do think it's a genetic gift that some athletes, men and women, have. That it's very hard to injure them.
Do something in terms of like flexibility training?
Sure.
Do stuff with, you know, doing yoga, doing the stuff like that?
It's called injury prevention.
Okay.
So there's the way athletes the past, I don't know, probably 15 years, the way middle school and high school athletes start to train, if you bring your son or daughter to the right places, they work on injury prevention type of in flexibility trainings, different type of stretching, different stretches that we did when we were younger as athletes. So, like some of the stretching stuff that I did when I was in high school and college, you know, my son is like, wow, they tell us not to do that stuff because that's how you get hurt. You get less performance out of that, even for weight training. And he's right. You know, he does a lot of, he's into that. He's very into his body and training, and he does studies. He does a lot of research. And it's crazy. And I'm learning from him. And it's like the stuff with injury prevention, the stuff they're preventing is the stuff that I was doing. Like guys that I was rolling what we're doing, you know, as far as prepping for a match or for a game, you know, before you work out, the way you warm up. And these athletes, the younger athletes know all that. And there are ways you could do it. But still, at the end of the day, you could have all the injury prevention training, the greatest trainer, the greatest therapist, the greatest masseuse, whatever you want to do, acupuncture, that's all great. I do think there is some kind of a genetic toughness, that battle-tested gene that some guys and girls have. I believe that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't at all. Now the question for Eli Manning, you know, this is obviously going to be his last year in a Giant uniform. Is this going to be it for Eli Manning in the National Football League? I don't know. I mean, really, I'm not so sure. You look at Eli right now, what is he, you know, 38, 39 years of age, right? I mean, he's up there in age. He's been there. He's been in the National Football League for quite some time. I know some people have looked at it and said he's 38. I know some people have looked at it and said, well, maybe now he can, you know, put some stuff on tape and, you know, hit free agency, Taz, and maybe he signs on with another team. I guess I have a hard time seeing Eli play for any other team other than the Giants. He might not want to give up on his NFL career, and there might be a team that still believes in Eli Manning, but do you think this is going to be the last we see of Eli Manning, regardless of how many games? If it's just Monday night, or maybe it's the final home game that the Giants have, but do you think this is the final, say, month of Eli's NFL career?
I think it is. I think it is. He's been out of sight, out of mind since Daniel Jones has been starting.
Yeah, Tampa game.
Yeah, these guys have all this attention when they're playing, they're in the news, they're losing, they're winning. Andrew Luck, he decides to hang it up. We're talking about Andrew Luck for years, everybody. He decides to hang it up. He's done. He's out of sight, out of mind. Nobody talks about him.
No.
He's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And
there's been no rumors, no rumblings,
nothing,
no nothing.
Nothing. But, and I think with Eli, I think that it, because he hasn't really played much at all, now, if he goes into this Eagle game on Monday night, Grand Stage Jones, right, Monday night game, big-time game, even though, you know, the Giants stink and the Eagles are doing better, it's still a big game. It's the only game. It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Let's just say that Eli does play really, really well. Now all the teams might be thinking, you know what, maybe next year as a let's take him as a strong veteran backup or to press a younger guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if he wants that role. And
that's the question is, do you think he wants it?
He wants a start, I think.
You think he still wants to play after this year?
I do. I think he wants to play. I do. I think he wants to play. He seemed very, you know, he wasn't.
Bothered by the fact he got taken out of the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's handled himself well.
You gotta respect that of the guy.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm curious about that. I think he wants to play, Taz. I don't know if he necessarily loves the idea of playing for another team.
Mm. I don't know that answer, but I think if someone gives him an opportunity, I think he would play if it's the NFL, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to see if this is going to be it for Eli because, you know, he accomplished a lot, Taz. He really did. I think people are going to pinpoint in terms of what he wasn't as a regular season quarterback, but he accomplished a lot in terms of winning two Super Bowls. If you can quarterback a team and over the time of year that you're there and you win two Super Bowls, you know, you've done a nice job.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Eli did.
Yeah, that's... Man, I wish I won a Super Bowl.
Well, I think it would be nice, right?
Yeah. Start fullback for, like... I wouldn't play for the Patriots. Even if they wanted me now, I wouldn't play.
I think... Yeah, well, I was just thinking
Belichick
about...
Belichick would have me
Yeah,
laps,
you know, you kind of triggered something. Like, if I were to win a... If I had to be a champion of one sport... I'd want the feeling of hoisting up the Stanley Cup on the ice.
You know what? I'm with you.
And
I want to hold it up with you.
And kissing the Stanley Cup and skating around on the ice in an arena.
In the Nassau Coliseum.
Whatever, yeah. Garden. I would pick the Garden. You pick the Nassau Coliseum.
I'm just saying.
Or the New Islanders, you know.
They play everywhere. Bronx, Brooklyn, I mean.
Yeah.
They play in Belmont. They play in Uniondale.
They're going to be up at Twin Rinks in Stamford, Connecticut this Friday night.
Exactly.
They're taking on Vancouver Canucks.
They're playing next week in Bethpage.
Yeah.
That's a Nassau kind of too. It's a little PAL ice rink.
Yeah. Right. You got a rink, the Islanders will come
play.
They'll
play. Yeah.
As long as it's near New York.
Yeah,
right. The general vicinity. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Got Andrew Bogus spending people's money here off air. It's tremendous.
No, I'm prepared to spend my money.
This person can't afford that. They shouldn't do that. They can do that. Unbelievable.
Probably anybody a forensic accountant out there that can do some off-the-books work for me?
How do you
Bogus
decide?
Bogus is not the shoulder to cry on.
I know. Oh, no, he's definitely not. What
no.
a heel.
No, I mean, sympathetic when you deserve it. I'm a good friend. I'm a good listener when it's legit.
I don't know how you could know... If someone can, let's say someone says, you know, I want to buy a big new SUV. I want to buy a Cadillac Escalade and it's $100,000. But you know what? I can't afford it. But you're like, wait, that guy probably makes, you know, whatever, a high, whatever, $1 million a year. Why can't he afford it? How do you know, bro?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. And I'm nosy. And I'm also like...
Well, you're definitely nosy.
And I want things to work in my head. Like, I can understand... Like, if you told me right now you couldn't afford to buy yourself lunch today, I'd wonder why you couldn't buy lunch today.
Right. Well, maybe I'm in debt.
Well, so exactly. That's my point.
I got a Shylock coming after me.
Right.
Shylock.
Right. What we... And what Andrew is referencing. And
No, I'm not going to say.
What
are you starting to say?
I know.
No.
What
I'm
Andrew
not,
was referencing on just, his last day at work.
Let me just say what I was going to say. I'm not going to say specifically right, what he was talking
about. Put your finger on any dump button you got there.
It was not even close to an Escalade, what we're talking about.
Oh, You are correct. No, it's not even close to wrestling.
We're not talking about that.
And no one in this room we're not talking about either.
No, we're not. Nobody in this room. It's no one.
We're talking about Bilotti.
It's not even, you know, 200th of an escalator. It's nowhere close to an escalator.
That's why I just use that as an example.
No. I understand what you're saying, but people must be like, whoa, what millionaire can, you know.
Afford an escalator.
He's a boomer? Boomer's now. What was boomer's investments?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's not it.
I just don't understand how
Boomer could afford basically to buy half the Eastern Seaboard.
Right.
I don't know how you... he's not exactly Stephen A. Cohen. I mean, relax. You know, let's be honest.
I'm not saying
if Boomer could buy the Mets, he would.
Boomer's okay. Boomer's doing fine.
He'd hire me, too. I could work for Boomer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I should talk to Boomer about buying the Islanders. His son-in-law plays for them, right?
He does.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
Does.
Correct. That is correct. Yes. Yeah. But Boomer's still a staunch Ranger fan.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
He rubbed up against Boomer.
Yeah.
Buy the Islanders to sabotage the Islanders.
No, he could buy it. This is the way to sabotage it and have me run it.
Yeah. That's true.
That's sabotage.
Right. Yeah. Coach and GM.
Me and
Taz.
Me and Pete running it?
Oh my God.
Well,
Bilotti is the schedule?
He is Barry Trotz-ish.
Oh, he is. You're right about that. That's a fair.
Be disciplined.
That is fair. That is fair. That is fair.
Yeah, no, Andrew spending people's money is tremendous.
I think it's a fascinating conversation.
I think there's people that are here that'll go unnamed that Bogish has little to no patience for.
You're correct.
But yet, to their face, he's such a gentleman and a nice person to all these people. And that's how I wonder how he really feels about me.
Fair assessment.
Exactly.
I like you a lot. I wish you and I were more friends than we are now.
When the time comes that I leave this place, I'm unfollowing a lot of people on Twitter. You will not be one of them.
Whoa!
Andrew Bogish.
How about that? Is the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
You're going to make it through the rain. How about that?
What a heart.
I don't know how to process that, Moose. What do I do?
That's a great compliment.
Just be happy. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Be thankful.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've been muted already.
Yes. Oh, you'll be unfollowed.
I know.
But that's right. You still have a lot of followers, so you'll be fine. But yeah, so. Yeah, that's how this goes. I will not unfollow you, Andrew. I will not.
Well, you can't unfollow Bilotti because Bilotti's your hype man.
True.
So, that's one thing. You'll always follow Pete. Pete will always be there to reminisce about your glory days, sending you videos.
Maybe I have some upcoming glory days.
I'm talking about as a wrestler.
Okay. And Mikey B, I will not unfollow because if I want to take my podcast to a new level, this guy in about 2 years, Mikey B, by 2021, will be running the podcast business, not just as a talent. This guy is locked in.
Yeah.
So. That's right. Locked in, baby.
So I need because I'm going to, need maybe a new home for my podcast and that business-wise.
We'll get you settled.
Yeah, see? That's the corporate Mikey
B. Some reason I don't think the Taz Show will be linked up to Basketball Drives.
Probably not. But I'm just trying to be nice.
That's a fair assessment.
I appreciate you trying.
I respect everything. Taz couldn't even say with a straight face. If we had video here. It was
video.
Well, I mean, in 2021, the Biseglia Podcast Network will probably not be up and running, but Mikey B could be at a place where he could offer Taz space for said podcast.
Well, they got to have a lot of money. But here's the thing, though.
A lot of bandwidth.
I'm telling you right now, Mikey B will be in a couple of 5 years.
Yeah, I like it.
He will be.
It's gone from 2 to 5.
Yeah. Fine.
It's okay.
In the span of 90 seconds.
We're
workshopping this.
In 20 years.
The more what comes talks, first? The Mets sale? Or?
No. Mikey B will be wearing a necktie, a sports jacket. He'll have an office overlooking the East River.
Ooh.
And he will be
a big player.
A big player in the podcast space for somebody.
He's done a great job with his podcast.
I'm telling you right now. Beware.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or I'll be looking at Pete Bilotti.
Yeah. That's it. Well, Bilotti and I will be running the Islanders for Boomer. So, right into the ground.
Fair point.
GM, coach,
trainer,
head of marketing.
Yeah. So, yeah. 2020, all I can say is this. 2020, for me, is going to be a lot different, just being honest. So,
Wait, we can't gloss over the idea of Pete in a suit behind the Islander bench barking out orders to Matt Barzell.
The suit with the shoulders, I'm just
going to
run the weight room. That's all I want to do for the Islanders. I want to get them bigger. So I'm going to get them all bigger. They need to get bigger.
Somebody back check. Yeah. So,
I'd be screaming at them in practice.
Right.
Pete has no idea what he's watching.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic here.
I'm better upstairs.
You know, he's
upstairs.
A talent.
Better outside.
He has no idea
better
about
in the yard.
Run a power play, the diamond and one. Nothing. He has no idea what he's doing.
Do a diamond and two.
Yeah. Pass. Which one's the blue line?
See, innovative.
Innovative, yeah. Right.
Make it green.
Right.
The blue line is blue.
All of a sudden, there's six guys on the ice. Too many men in the ice. What?
We'll have power plays in practice.
Right.
He's worried about vacation time for the start, like the first line.
Yeah,
exactly. This guy's kind
of right. Where's your main assistant? He's in Barbados.
Yes,
it was his time to take a break.
Yeah, you're not doing the schedule for the fan anymore. Yeah. This is the Islanders, Pete.
It's only the end of the regular season. I mean, he can go on vacation.
Well, we'll see what happens with everything. Yeah, I'm just letting you know. So
thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, on social media, I will make moves. Some people will be followed, but unfollowed. Some will be muted. Some will be not muted. Some will be blocked.
Some players will be traded.
Some will be traded.
I didn't know you followed that many people around here at the...
I really don't. But that's true. You're right. That's
a good point. This is the group.
It's all like 14 people to begin with.
Right. There's about 8 people here.
Well, when I first came here, like literally, I started following some people the first month, and then I unfollowed them right away. Once I got to know them a little bit, I'm like, this guy's a douche. I'm not following this guy.
Yeah.
Well, that was a month here.
I get it.
And it's been downhill since. I don't have a lot of friends here, man. Not a lot.
Bogus, how's everything going this morning?
Things are really good, Moose. Thanks for asking.
I'm here with
a report. It is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Only the Mets could grant their fans wishes, but ask them to wait at least 5 years to have those dreams realized. Billionaire businessman Steve Cohen increasing his investment in the team, but the Wilpon family stays in control for those 5 years. Cohen reportedly wants 80% of the franchise, which could cost a record $2.6 billion. Now, if you don't know who Steve Cohen is, he is the inspiration for Bobby Axelrod in Billions.
Yeah.
The Phillies, big spenders for the second consecutive offseason. They reportedly get former Mets righty Zach Wheeler, 5 years and $118 million. Wheeler apparently had a richer offer from the White Sox. The Braves ink Cole Hamels, 1 year, $18 million. The Angels send four pitching prospects to the Orioles for righty Dylan Bundy. And the Halos signing an agreement to stay in Anaheim through 2050. The city will sell the team, the stadium, and the surrounding land. The Angels may then renovate the Big A or build a new home. Everything went the Lakers' way last night in Utah.
Rondo brings it into Dwight Howard, who shoots a three-pointer and buries it. Before the game, Dwight was shooting threes, and I said to Michael, should he be doing that out there? Huh. And Mike, you said, sure, he might shoot one in a game.
John Ireland, Michael Thompson on Lakers radio. First made three on the second try for Howard this season. His career percentage from three now 7 for 65 on top of the rare Dwight three. LeBron got away with a remarkable travel last night.
Probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. I didn't even realize I did it until halftime, to be honest. One of my coaches showed me. I didn't even realize I did it.
If you haven't seen the video just yet, he's bringing the ball up the floor, dribbling across half court, kind of just holds the ball in his hand, takes two or three steps forward, resumes dribbling. There's no whistle, no nothing. The Lakers win the game 121-96 over the Jazz. And speaking of officiating, the Rockets, expected to formally protest that James Harden dunk that was incorrectly waved off 2 nights ago in San Antonio. They have 48 hours to do so. Houston was hoping the league would act on its own. College hoops, number 3, Maryland handled Notre Dame 72-51. Fifth-ranked Virginia destroyed at Purdue 69-40. And number 6, Ohio State stormed through Chapel Hill 74-49 over the 7th-ranked Tar Heels. Worst home loss at UNC for Roy Williams.
Head basketball coach at North Carolina did a sorry-ass job tonight. I looked up in the stands and saw people leaving, and 4, 5, 6 minutes to go in the game, and I didn't blame them.
The Buckeyes outscored the Heels 35-13 over the final 15 and a half minutes. USC is keeping football coach Clay Helton. The Bears host the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. And on ice last night, Ottawa snapped a 5-game slide, 5-2 at Edmonton. The Capitals beat the Kings in L.A. 3-1.
That's a pretty solid game, that Bears What do you call it? Do the Bears playing
Cowboys? Yeah.
That should be a pretty good game tonight.
That's a good game tonight.
Oh, this should be good.
In Chicago.
You ever have bad coffee?
I'm sorry?
Bad coffee. Yeah,
ever?
Like it gives you gut rot. You know, you ever run to the bathroom, number two Jones?
Yeah.
Yesterday that happened. I stopped at a 7-Eleven.
On the way home?
Listen, what are you, a detective?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason to ask all these questions. I got a cup of coffee, big 30-ouncer, at 7-Eleven. And what happened was, it was not on the way home. Okay, and throughout the day, I don't normally go to 7-Eleven. I usually bring coffee from the casa because I have a bunch of machines at the house. We have a Java room. So we have beans, we have the K-Cup, we have all different types of coffee.
Got a guy grinding beans.
Yeah, he works 24-7, he's always there, right? So he has little quarters right there, but I digress. So what happens?
Did he just raise his hand, like, yeah, that's me?
Yes.
And I had this coffee, and all of a sudden, I usually go to Bold Roast. My stomach is, they have these new vats at this 7-Eleven I go to, and I never had the coffee in these new vats. And I'm thinking maybe this thing, my wife said, maybe it wasn't cleaned out good. Because it's cleaning me
out. Maybe it was too strong.
Cleaning. No. There's no such thing as too strong with coffee with me.
Oh, well, I think, well, to me, there is.
Listen to me.
Well, everyone can be a little bit different.
Please listen to me.
Yes.
Please. I'm the type of guy, I go to a restaurant, I get a big plate of maybe Kung Po chicken, or an Italian place, I'll get a chicken palm platter. With some ziti, like with olive oil and garlic, and I'll have two or three shots, dude, of double espresso.
At a Chinese restaurant?
Maybe not there, but at an Italian restaurant, yeah.
Kung Pao chicken and a little espresso?
Well, I probably should have said maybe chicken cacciatore.
Chicken parmesan?
The second and a grandpa's bad heartburn, man.
Right. Yeah, maybe not at the Chinese place, but
I've only been offered green tea. I want to go to your Chinese place.
The thing is this, though.
Yeah.
I'm the type of guy, I have an espresso machine also. So when you say to me it's too strong, you're implying that I'm weak and that my stomach's weak, and it's not. Because I can drink very powerful coffee for decades.
I trust that you can. I'm just saying that maybe it was just a little too strong that day.
No. It wasn't too strong, Moose. Maybe they didn't clean the friggin' vat.
That could be it as well. That could be it. Maybe you shouldn't go to 7-Eleven for coffee.
Or have 30 ounces of it.
Or anything. Great brand.
Well,
I mean, yeah, you know.
Right, but I mean, a lot of people love 7-Eleven coffee. It's usually pretty good, no?
You don't like it? I don't love 7-Eleven.
Actually too strong for me. I'm not kidding. I had it one time. I thought I was like on Coke. My heart was like pounding through my chest.
You were?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not
7-Eleven is very good in other areas. I'm not a huge 7-Eleven coffee fan.
It's actually pretty good coffee. Normally, I go to the same spot all the time, but like I said, they changed the vats.
Maybe they didn't clean it properly.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an old batch of coffee that was sitting there for a while.
Could be.
That could be it, too. Maybe you got old coffee.
Yeah, that son of a... Yeah, that could be. I'm going to swing by there and talk to that guy. There's a lot of things I could say right now about him.
You need the tiny
bit
of
your coffee sent me to the toilet? Can I have my $2
back?
I'm
going to say you're cleaning the vat, bro. $5 is coffee. I got a 32-ounce coffee. I got it in a hard cup, too.
At 7-Eleven, $5 coffee?
Yeah,
you get 30 ounces.
Where I live, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
$5? Yeah, get a little froth of milk on top?
I live in a very nice
7-Eleven
area.
Yeah. Exactly. Bad coffee
they see
in
me
the
coming.
Wall.
I get hit for that $5.
Right. They hit you. Yeah, right. They saw you coming, walking in.
Look at this mock.
They're like, raise the boards. He's back.
A little button at the counter.
Unbelievable enough. We thought we sent him away at $7 for 30 ounces. He's back.
This guy's a mark.
We'll tell him it's a holiday special, $5. Give him the old batch.
Only employees quit when they see him coming in.
Jeez, yeah, but usually I go to Double D's, you know, Dunkin' Donuts action, or the Bucks. But,
yeah,
you know.
I got Donut Delight up in Connecticut, which is very good.
That sounds like El Cheapo Dunkin' Donuts.
No, it's very good.
I never heard. It sounds like a cheap knockoff of Dunkin' Donuts.
No, it's... Well,
you're saying it's very good. It's just cheap.
It's excellent. My wife knows the owners.
Hold on a second. It's a cheap place.
No, it's not.
Is it standalone or is it a chain?
No, it's a chain. Okay. Connecticut.
What's it called again?
Donut Delight.
Oh, God.
It's delicious. Coffee's
delicious.
They make tremendous iced coffee in the summer.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I'm jealous. I love a good iced coffee.
Yes. Iced coffee's great.
I thought you were going to like El Cheapo Donuts.
No. It's a chain. It's clean. It's fresh.
I never heard
they
of
they clean the pots. Yeah, if you
they clean the pots.
They do. You don't have to worry about gut rot.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about any of that.
Man.
It's good. Whenever my kids go there, they get free. They'll get a munchkin.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, the ladies love the guys, they'll give them a free munchkin here.
A munchkin?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So it's like kind of they're copying a little bit of the Dunkin' Donut munchkin.
Yeah, I think they call them donut holes.
Oh,
like a lot of places.
Okay.
They don't call them munchkins. I say munchkins because it's kind of like the same thing.
And you know a lot about donuts.
I said
too. You really know your donuts. I'm impressed. All right, we gotta go to break. That's it.
Well, it says a lot about me and probably where my physique is right now.
No, cool.
I do know. You're right about that. I do know a lot about donuts.
The name's down.
Yes.
Style number of the donut. The brand.
We'll talk about the future. USC made a decision yesterday. Do you like where their football program is going? We'll get into that next. And XFL uniforms are out, too. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, number to call is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Let's go to Charlotte. Is this Charlotte or Charlottesville? The screen's cut off.
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, Virginia, my bad. Darius, listening on 93.3 FM. You're on with Taz and Moose. What's up?
What's up, man? How you guys doing this morning?
What's
good,
up, Darius.
Buddy?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I just had two questions for you. Tonight, the Bears and Cowboys play. Who do you guys think are going to win? And then also, like a little fantasy question, do you think Mitchell Trubisky has over two touchdowns?
Over two touchdowns?
Over two touchdowns.
I do not.
Rushing or throwing? How about that, Darius?
Let's do a combo.
All right.
I personally do not. I would not take that Mitchell Trubisky gets three touchdowns. I mean, in essence, you're telling, is he going to count for three scores tonight? I personally would not bank on that fantasy-wise.
Okay. Who you got winning tonight?
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on. There's two people here, sir.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what? I think he gets you two touchdowns. How about that?
No, over two.
I think he does. Right. Okay.
You said over two
like
or
that.
Two touchdowns?
You say over two or two?
Over two.
So three scores.
That yeah, I don't agree scores. With, Darius. I say he gets two. I don't think he gets three. So.
Okay.
So what's your next question, sir?
And then my other question was, who do you guys have winning tonight?
Yeah, Moose.
I like the Cowboys tonight.
Yeah, I like them too. I like the Cowboys tonight, too. And they're in Chicago.
In Chicago.
But they're in Chicago.
I think the Cowboys got to bounce back from what the Bills did to them at home on Thanksgiving, and I think they will. And all this chatter with Jones and about Garrett, I think that the team was guys like Prescott and Elliott, these guys are going to step up tonight for their coach.
I'm with
think
you.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Mitchell did have his best game last week against the Lions, so, I mean, I figure he's going to come out again hot tonight. That's
something
what I
tells
think.
Me that Trubisky is your fantasy QB, right? Is that what it is?
Oh, he is my backup to Drew Brees, but I'm definitely thinking about playing him tonight just because I am a Bears fan and I think he's going to do good. So.
And you're in the playoffs?
Oh, this is my last week. So if I win this week, I'm going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. So you got to win. I'll be honest.
I got to win.
Darius,
got to win.
I got Drew Brees. I mean, I know they're taking on the night. I'd be starting Drew Brees over Mitchell Trubisky.
I would too.
That's tough for me.
Really?
I feel like that would be more of a low scoring game than tonight would be.
I mean, Darius, I have a hard time in fantasy banking on Mitchell Trubisky. I do. I mean, I know you're a Bears fan.
No, but to this point, though, they're playing the Niners, right? They're playing the Niners?
No, they are. I get it. But I don't look at Breeze as being a streaming guy for, you know, using
right,
a fantasy
right,
term.
Right.
I don't for look sure. at I look at Drew Breeze. If he's my starter, he's my starter. I don't care who they're taking on. Like, think about this, you know, going into the offseason. You know, if you're a Taz, you look at it and you're going to say, well, I decided a game I needed to have in fantasy football,
that,
I started Mitchell Trubisky over Drew Brees in fantasy.
Right. No, I know.
It's tough to do.
It's tough to do. But they are, like I said, they are playing
the
Niners.
They are playing the better team.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's tough to do that. I mean, because you know what you're doing, even though it's fair, then you're comparing the ability of Trubisky compared to, you know, Breeze. And that's not even in the same realm.
I mean, would it be surprising, Taz, if we're on tomorrow morning doing a show talking about the Thursday night game and Trubisky throws for 150 yards with two picks?
No, that would not be surprising.
No, because he's had the... Now, he, you know, Darius brings up the Lions. That's fair. The Lions' defense isn't very good. And their secondary has really struggled this year. So that's where I'd have a hard time. I'm not telling you the Cowboys are the best defense in the NFL, but I do think there's something to be said that Dallas, coming off the extended little bit of a break, the fact that they got run over by the Bills on Thanksgiving, now they go on the road. Temperatures are going to be in the 30s tonight, so it's not going to be like in the teens or 5 degrees or anything like that. I can't roll with Trubisky. The idea of that as a fantasy player, I just can't do.
No, if Darius goes with
Breeze. That's a gutsy move.
If he goes with Breeze, at least the Saints are playing home, even though they're playing that Niners defense, that's real good. The Saints are tough home, so you know you are home if you got Breeze going. So yeah. I probably wouldn't go with Trubisky tonight, but I do think he gets that. He's going to get two touchdowns, maybe one rushing, maybe two rushing, one passing, one rushing. I think he does.
We mentioned going into the break about Clay Helton and USC, Taz, who they decided to stick with Helton as their football coach, which is, kind of surprising to me when the news came out, right? New athletic director out there at USC. It seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that Clay Helton was going to get fired out there at USC or relieved of his duties, and they were going to go in another direction. Now USC did rally down the stretch here, and played some pretty good football. The offense was good, but overall you would say USC was a disappointment this year. I guess I'm a little surprised that Clay Helton is coming back as USC football coach.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised too. But they support him and they're moving forward with him and he's getting that support from the president of the school there, Folt and Mike Brohm. So, I mean, you know, he's got that support. But I'm a little surprised, too. I am a little surprised, too, because, you know, you think USC football, and you think that greatness, you want greatness at them. They're one of the traditional names for decades upon decades of greatness in college football. And that's not the way it is for quite some time. I don't know, maybe the last time we've seen that, I'm not... Looking at it, probably during the era of Reggie Bush, right, and Pete Carroll as the head coach, and right Matt Leinart as the guy. I mean, but still, they weren't great, right? I'm trying to. Am I missing a time when they were after that? I don't think so, right? The Reggie Bush years and stuff. Are we missing a time where they were like dominant?
No. Carroll basically revitalized them.
I know, that's what I mean. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's. I think it's also. You don't know, right? The players, the families, they could like him. Maybe he's really good with the recruiting aspect of it. That's a huge part of it. But at the end of the day, these programs, they got to win. They want to win, right? It's all about winning. You know?
Sure. Or maybe, let me ask you this, maybe the guy they wanted wasn't ready to take over the program.
That could be. You could be right.
Say they wanted Chris Peterson, and Peterson's made it perfectly clear he's stepping away from football for a while. I didn't say his career is over at 55. Maybe they wanted Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer said, I'm not ready to run a football program just a year out after retiring from Ohio State and running that program and handing it off to Ryan Day. And they said, look at the landscape and said, you know, Clay Helton's our best option right now.
Right.
I'm not telling you I know for a fact that's the way it played out. But maybe they looked at it and said, this is, you know, Helton's the best option we have right now.
The other thing, too, with Helton, you know, he finished off the season with 3 wins.
Yeah.
You know, and beat the Sun Devils, Cal, and, of course, UCLA. They beat them up. So that's a big win for them as far as those two schools, you know. So, yeah, he finished strong.
He did finish strong. You know, he did. He'll be back next year for the USC Trojans running that college football program as head coach. We'll come back. We got the three for you. Jack Del Rio will join Taz and myself next hour as well. It's Taz and the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio.